And you must have just heard that we are recording this meeting. So first of all, I just want to welcome everybody to the public scoping meeting for the First Responders Technology Campus Environmental Impact Statement. Today's meeting will be recorded and published with the draft EIS in accordance with Hawaii Administrative Rules. We're also going to be posting the meeting video onto our public open house website. Let's get started. Okay, here's the agenda for this scoping meeting. We'll start with some quick introductions of our project team and some meeting housekeeping. Then we'll go through the project information, discuss next steps, and end with the open comment discussion part of the meeting. Okay, here are the program proponents. So this is the EIS task team for the project. The project is being led by Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. We have Len Higashi here with us today. He's the acting executive director, and he is supported by Sandy Kanemori, our contract specialist. They are supported by the Hawaii Community Development Authority from a technical review support standpoint. And with us today, we have Kara Kimura, the project director from HCDA. From the SSFM team, we are led by Don Clifford, our principal in charge of the project. We also have Amy Salvador. She's the project manager from SSFM, the overall project manager. And we have Kara Kadota, who's a planner with SSFM, working on the EIS with me. I'm Jared Chang. I am the lead EIS planner, and I'm also going to be today's meeting facilitator. Just some quick housekeeping. So our kuleana for today's meeting includes basically being respectful of others and showing aloha by not interrupting anyone and keeping yourself muted when not talking. When you do want to speak, please raise your hand using the Zoom raise your hand function and wait for me to call on you before you unmute yourself and start speaking. There might be times when we must agree to disagree. So let's all keep that in mind and that others' opinions may differ from our own for good reason. And finally, just keep an open mind and be open to new information. Pretty easy. Here's a quick tutorial on how to use Zoom. So starting on the left side of your screen, there is a microphone button. That's the mute and unmute button. Next to that is a video on and off button. It would be good if everybody had their cameras on, but not necessary. In the center of the screen, you can see the chat button. Use that to open up the chat window. Feel free to put any thoughts or questions into the chat and we'll do our best to get to them through the meeting. Next to that one is the reactions button. That's where you'll find the raise your hand function. So it's a little hand. Just a reminder, if you do raise your hand and speak and you're done, you have to lower your hand also. Otherwise, I'll call on you again to speak. All right, here is the purpose for today's scoping meeting. Basically, we're here to describe the scope of the EIS and provide an opportunity for oral public comment. There are actually several ways you can provide your comments on the EIS and this project. You may submit verbal comments today in this meeting, which we'll capture in the recording. You may also submit written comments by email or mail to me until December 8, 2021, which is the end of the 30-day comment period on the EISPN. Any comments we receive either in this format or by mail or email before December 8 will get captured and incorporated into the draft EIS when that comes out. And then finally, we just want to hear from everybody here and understand your insights on the project or the location so that we can incorporate that into our work for the draft EIS. All right, I'm going to jump right into an overview of the project. Sorry for all the text on this slide, but it's kind of a lot to cover. But this is just want to give you an idea of what the background of where this project came from, how it started. So actually starting in 1985, a final environmental impact statement was completed for Hawaii Technology Park, which is now known as Mililani Tech Park. That EIS actually included two phases for that development. Phase one resulted in the current Mililani Tech Park as we know it today. Phase two was supposed to include campus industrial uses and open spaces, but was never fully entitled or developed. So phase two's proposed uses were described as those involving high technology operations or closely related activities. Fast forward to 2014, the Hawaii State Legislature appropriated funds for the acquisition of phase two lands of the Mililani Tech Park to create First Responders Campus. So the legislature in their review and findings found that there was a centralized location need for the Sheriff Division, along with a need for EMS headquarters and a need for joint training facilities for first responders. In 2017, the state acquired the Mililani Tech Park Phase 2 lands, along with another parcel adjacent to it in Waikakalawa Gulch. And this is collectively referred to as what we're going to be calling the First Responders Technology Campus. So the Phase 2 portion of Mililani Tech Park that was never developed for that will serve as the campus core for First Responders Tech Campus. And the adjacent parcel that was purchased in 2017 by the state will be used for search and rescue training activities. For both parcels, Hawaii Technology Development Corporation is the landowner and also tasked with the development of the First Responders Tech Campus. Also in 2017, the University of Hawaii School of Architecture prepared a conceptual master plan for the acquired parcels, and that included 10 agencies at that time. Now, fast forwarding to 2021, HTDC has the project, has retained SSFM, our firm, as the prime consultant to help with the development. Together, we conducted a virtual multi-day charrette for the update of the master plan that UH did in 2017. The charrette in 2021 included 19 different federal, state, and city and county of Honolulu agencies. And the intent was to understand everyone's organizational needs for training and spatial needs, any opportunities and constraints. Through the charrette process, which occurred January through March of this year, each agency was able to understand the needs of their partner agencies and identify opportunities for collaboration. And essentially, between the 19 agencies, build a collective vision for what this project can be. And based on the outcome of the charrette and updated conceptual master plan, HTDC looked at what uses were proposed and determined that the project would require its own new EIS, basically because the age of the 1985 EIS was so old, plus the uses proposed now in the First Responder Tech Campus would be different than what was addressed in the previous EIS. All right, here's a slide just showing the locations of fire stations, police stations, airports, harbors, schools spread out across Oahu. The peach colored areas on the map graphic along the coast represent coastal flood zones with the anticipated 3.2 foot rise in sea level. So this graphic basically illustrates that Oahu has many existing facilities along coastlines and within areas that will face increasing pressures from sea level rise impacts through the next century. This makes another point to the credit of the work in 2014 by the legislature for having the foresight to identify and establish a location for a centralized facility shared by multiple agencies that minimizes the potential to be impacted by climate change and to be better prepared for natural disasters that occur statewide. Okay, getting into project location. So we've zoomed in here into our project site. We're in central Oahu. This is Mililani. The FRTC is proposed to be located on two tax map key parcels, like I mentioned earlier. The parcel 57, which is in the middle there, that's 150 acres. That's the one referred to as a future phase of Mililani Tech Park 2 that never happened. Parcel 39 to the right there is 93 acres, just located Mauka of parcel 57. And that area has not been developed. although ag designations exist on both sites currently, either through the state land use designation or city and county of Honolulu zoning, neither parcel is in current ag production, and neither parcel has been identified as candidates for important agricultural lands designations. And both parcels are outside of any flood hazard, special flood hazard zones. These two parcels are also in close proximity to Wheeler Army Airfield, Schofield Barracks, and other military installations. It has good freeway on and off-ramp access. It's close to the Schofield East Range. There are some natural buffers already incorporated on the site that we will be taking advantage of and speaking to a little bit more. And it's also located within the urban growth boundary of the Central Oahu Sustainable Communities Plan, which is the city's community plan for this area. It's also identified as a tech campus on the Sustainable Community Plan land use map. So, okay. Okay, let's get into an overview of the proposed action. We'll be covering this in the next set of slides. And here's the proposed action. So the FRTC, First Responders Technology Campus, is proposed to be located on two tax map keys. Like I said, parcel 57 is where the core campus will be, and parcel 39 is where the search and rescue lands will be. The FRTC is envisioned to be a state-of-the-art facility. It will include uses for first responders ranging from offices, classrooms, warehouses, fitness, indoor shooting range, outdoor training, and other accessory uses such as workforce housing and a hotel slash dormitory. And the FRTC will include facilities to be used by multiple first responder agencies from federal, state, and city and county of Honolulu. What I'm showing you in this slide right here to the right is just a conceptual rendering. This is not final by any means, and it's just for planning purposes. So, okay, overview of the purpose and need for the action. The need for a First Responders Tech Campus was essentially derived from the overlapping needs of first responder agencies, such as, like I mentioned earlier, the centralized headquarters for the Sheriff's Division, the EMS headquarters, and then a bigger need was the joint training facilities for sheriffs, police, firefighters, and the National Guard. And since then, back in 2014 to now, that need has also expanded to include other first responder agencies. Locations of first responder headquarters, offices, airfields, and training facilities on Oahu are some of them. The existing ones are within the Oahu tsunami evacuation zones, flood hazard zones, and/or 3.2 foot sea level rise exposure area, which will put many of those facilities, agencies' facilities, at risk to be inundated by natural hazards, storm events, and sea level rise in the future. Locating multiple agencies in one campus will provide more opportunities for integration, coordination, and cross-training between agencies from the federal, state, and county level, while decreasing the cost for these agencies to build their own facilities on separate parcels. All of the first responder agencies engaged, the 19 of them for the charrette that happened earlier this year, have identified a need for updating their facilities, generally increasing administrative space and in-state training facilities, among other ancillary uses. First responder agencies here typically have to send their trainees to out-of-state facilities, which comes at a significant cost to each agency. And in addition, the centralized location away from vulnerable areas on Oahu, subject to natural disasters or climate change hazards, also is consistent with the plans, policies, and current regulations that are coming forth for setting the resiliency and sustainability of the state and the island of Oahu. So here are the 19 agencies that participated in the Charette. I'm just showing you a list of the agencies here for informational purposes. And next we'll go into the overall site plan. So here is the conceptual site plan that's included in the EIS preparation notice. Starting from the left, so we have the 150-acre parcel 57, which would house the campus core. It would house the parking and accessory uses up there in the front off of Kahelu Avenue, and also the outdoor training area. And then to the right of your slide here is the 93-acre parcel showing the area that we use for search and rescue training operations, which generally is going to leave that parcel in its existing natural state. There will be some minimal improvements for staging or training storage on that parcel, but not too much. Okay, and I'm just going to use the next two slides to help orient you where some of these uses are on both of these parcels, because the next section, Kara's going to come in and talk about each of the uses in more detail. So starting off of Kahelu Avenue, which you're coming off of H2, you're heading down Kahelu Avenue, and then you're going to come to the end of that road right now, and it's going to enter this parcel, 57. This area on the left side here is basically the public access area. It'll include the workforce housing proposed, the hotel slash dormitory accessory uses, and community uses in the form of a community center. The center of the parcel there, where we're saying administrative core, will include offices, a new parking structure, warehouses, and all the shared first responder agency spaces. This area will be the beginning and will be contained within a secured area. So access will be secured beyond this portion here. Beyond the campus core heading Mauka are the outdoor training areas to the right. That's a large space within the campus core for all of the outdoor training facilities and areas identified. And you'll notice on this plan also, we've identified open space and landscaping, which will primarily remain untouched or generally managed, but not removed. And the idea is that we'll keep these around the edges to provide some vegetation buffers between the campus and adjacent uses, such as the residential areas to the south, the Launani Valley and Mililani Mauka communities. Okay, here's this next slide, just showing the search and rescue training areas. The search and rescue training areas will encompass the majority of parcel 39, like I said, with some minor facilities proposed for staging, storage, and other uses. But one thing to also note here is that the two parcels that we have for this project, they're bifurcated by another parcel owned by the Board of Water Supply, and there's an existing water tank there. So in order for access to parcel 39, this one here, discussions are ongoing with the Army that owns the land to the north of our site for an access easement to build a road so that we can access parcel 39 from parcel 57. You can kind of see the road here just above. Now those discussions, like I said, are ongoing. They're progressing well, and they will be happening concurrent with the EIS process. Okay, now I'm just going to show you some more conceptual renderings for planning purposes. So here's one of the campus core looking west. In the background is the Waianae mountain range. Here's another one just looking from the other side in the background, Ko'olau's. On this one to the left is Army Federal Lands, and to the right you can see the proximity to Mililani Mauka and Launani Valley residences. Okay, that was kind of a quick overview. All of this information, except for those renderings, are included in the EISPN. And right now, I'm going to turn it over to Kara Kototo from our office. She's going to talk to you about each project component in a little bit more detail. Kara, go ahead.
Thank you. Can go to the next slide. Okay, so the main core of the FRTC, which is located on parcel 57, the bigger parcel, will include office and warehouse spaces for agencies, shared facility space, and accessory uses. The table here on the right provides a breakdown of the total space provided for each use, followed by a brief description of the FRTC's proposed spaces. Next slide. So located in the main core of the FRTC on parcel 57 will be the office spaces, dining and food facility, and the parking structure. The office spaces provided to each agency will range in size and uses, as some spaces will serve as a main headquarters for agencies, while others will function as satellite offices. The types of users will also differ between each agency and may include administrative staff, training staff, field personnel, and new recruits. The dining facility will be a shared facility that will function as a cafeteria and kitchen space. There will also be space for the food service director and nutritionist office, as well as prep and production space and storage space. And the parking structure will be located on the northern portion of the site and will include dedicated space for agency vehicles and parking spaces for employees. Stored agency vehicles will be in a secured portion of the structure and may include training vehicles, ATVs, UTVs, vans, jet skis and watercrafts, trailers, sleds, and other types of vehicles. Next slide. So the conference and training spaces will be within a shared facility that will provide spaces ranging from small meeting rooms that seat 12 people to a large auditorium that seats 450 people. The small to medium sized rooms will be used for meetings, classrooms, and a conference hall, while the larger rooms will include a lecture hall and auditorium. The dedicated classroom spaces will be provided to agencies for teaching and training new recruits. The classroom space provided to each agency will range in size and uses, as some spaces will provide a hands-on training setting for physical activities, while others may provide a traditional classroom setting for gatherings. Next slide. The secured warehouse spaces will be provided to agencies and are anticipated to primarily function as storage spaces. Most agencies will have a dedicated amount of space within one shared warehouse, which will be located on the southeast portion of the site, while others will have their own dedicated warehouse due to the function or types of items to be stored. The shared warehouse will be used to store items such as training equipment, weapons, operational equipment and tools, and other necessary items. Next slide. So the FRTC will also include some accessory uses such as a community center, a hotel slash overnight accommodations, and a business mixed use and workforce housing area. The community center will be located outside of the secured campus area and will be available for use by the general public for meetings and or social gatherings and events. The FRTC will also include land set aside for private development of a select service hotel for visitors and overnight accommodations. The hotel is anticipated to have an approximate 150-bed hotel occupancy and 100-bed dormitory-like occupancy that will supply the anticipated demand within the community from the nearby government, military, business, and residential uses, and also the FRTC. Overnight accommodations for first responder agencies was identified as a functional requirement of training operations that would be available to first responder agency staff and recruits. The recruit spaces will be designed to function like dorm rooms, sort of like the picture on the top, and will include shared bathroom facilities and showers, while the staff spaces will be designed as apartment spaces and will include a study, living and dining space, kitchen, bathroom, and one or two bedrooms. The business, mixed use, workforce housing development is anticipated to include 400 to 500 studio one bedroom units that will accommodate trainees and employees located at the FRTC, along with the demands of the surrounding community. The business mixed use development may include office space, retail space, and or light industrial uses. It's intended that proposals will be solicited from hotel developers, business mixed-use developers, and housing developers to build and lease these areas from the state, which will minimize the funding needed from the state to design, operate, and maintain these facilities while still providing the uses to the surrounding community and the FRTC. Next slide. Okay. The shared fitness facilities will include amenities such as weight rooms, mat rooms, shower and locker rooms, and a competition pool, which will support recruit training. The fitness facilities will be in the basement of the parking structure, which is located on the northern portion of the site. Next slide. There will be multiple outdoor training spaces at the FRTC, which will be used by the different agencies. These are just some of the types of outdoor training spaces that will be included. So they'll have towers for communications and training, such as an observation tower, radio tower, cellular tower, emergency warning siren equipment, and rappelling tower. There's also going to be emergency response training, such as for hazardous materials and flashover, rail car or station emergencies, collapsed building or rubble pile, mock urban scenarios, burn training for firefighters, and tactical raid and breaching. There's also going to be driver training facilities and emergency vehicle operator course training, which would include a large flat paved surface for driver training. There's also going to be physical training facilities, such as an obstacle course for physical fitness training and testing, a running track, and search and rescue facilities. Next slide. These are just pictures as another example of the burn facilities and the rappelling tower that's going to be included in the outdoor training area. Next slide. And then finally, we have the indoor shooting range, which is a shared facility that's proposed to be in the basement of the parking structure. There's going to be three types of shooting ranges, a 25-yard standard range, a 50-yard standard range, and a tactical range. The range will also include office space, secured storage, service shop, and meeting ready room space. And that's it. I'll pass it back to Jared.
Okay, I'm just going to spend a little bit of time talking about how this thing is going to get implemented. So we're looking at a phase implementation, and this is intended to be a programmatic EIS for this project. So we're looking at the construction for the First Responder Tech Campus to be starting upon issuance of the required state and county entitlements or approvals. We are looking at maybe starting construction as early as 2023 for the first phase, assuming all entitlements are secured, and full build out of the campus occurring by 2038, possibly. And there we have identified six phases spanning the next 15 years for how this is going to come together. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the first phase. So phase A is in orange on this slide, the orange outlined area. That includes the construction and grading for the extension of Kahelu Avenue through parcel 57 and up to parcel 39 past the water tank. It will also include any infrastructure facilities, staging areas, drainage and utilities, so sewer, water, electrical, communications, and cybersecurity connections that will be constructed underneath the roadway in phase A that will later serve campus in full build out. The subsequent phases B through F plus the other development in the business mixed use and the hotel slash dormitory areas. These are all be dependent on funding coming through and securing future entitlements as necessary for each one of these phases. So looking at a span of about 15 years, six potential phases, but really focused on phase A to be starting in 2023. And just one thing to note here, this is parcel 39 for the search and rescue training area. And just want to call out that phase A of this project includes the roadway and utilities in the roadway leading up to parcel 39. For the EIS, this is a graphic just showing the next steps in the EIS. So we have the EISPN, the EIS public preparation notice that was published on November 8th. That triggers a 30-day comment period till December 8th for the EIS. That's where we are right now. So we are right in the beginning part of the 30-day comment period. And today is a scoping meeting, which is a requirement for the EIS. Next, we are going to take whatever we get from the scoping meeting and any comments submitted in this period and incorporate that into the draft EIS, which is anticipated for April of 2022. Following that, there will be another period of review and public comment. That's a 45-day comment period. And then following that, we'll be preparing the final EIS for acceptability determination, hopefully in October of 2022. Here is a point of contact, me, for the EIS. Any comments or questions you might have that come up, here is my phone number and email address. Feel free to email. Also, you may mail your comments to me directly at the address shown on this screen. This is also available on the environmental notice publication. And we also have a website that all of you would have had to go to sign up for this meeting. This website is going to be opened up as a virtual open house that has information on the project and the EISPN following this meeting. We are posting this meeting video to that website, and we'll also have this presentation posted to the open house website also. With that, that concludes our presentation and overview of the project. And now we want to open it up for any comments or discussion or questions. I don't see any hands raised. Lauren, looks like you unmuted yourself. Do you have a comment or question?
Yeah. I know there's that one entrance into the park, right? The facility.
Correct.
Is there any plans for a second other exit or entrance into that area? Do you know?
At this time, no.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Any other comments or questions for this scoping meeting? Okay, I see one comment coming in through the chat from Calvert Chan. Are any facilities to be open to the public? Dining, office space, classrooms? The answer is yes. The beginning part of the campus, when you just get off of Kahelu Avenue, will be a publicly, access to the public to those areas will be open. And Kara did mention that there is a proposal to include some community space in the form of a community center that would be open to the public as well. Beyond that, heading into the campus core, you would be entering into secured space and have to pass through a security building, I suppose, or hut to get access into the actual campus. Any other comments for our consideration when we're putting together the draft EIS? Seeing none. Len, I see you turn your camera on.
I just turned my camera on because I heard, I thought seeing none means we're about to adjourn. So
I think if there are no comments, I'm going to start the sort of last call. And you know what? Actually, I'm going to put back up the point of contact slide before we adjourn. For everyone on, please share this information with anybody that would be interested in commenting on our draft. The EISPN, the prep notice. And last call for any comments. Arnold, I see you turned your camera on. Nope, okay, no problem. Going once. Going twice. Okay, with that, we will adjourn this public scoping meeting. I just want to thank everybody for your time and listening to our presentation. And just a reminder, please submit your comments to us. You can contact me directly by mail, email, or phone. And with that, have a great weekend. Mahalo.